You know this, Uncle Tom.
Listen, sucker. I'm blacker than the Ace of Spades and more militant than you and your whole damn army put together. And while you out there chanting at rallies and browbeating politicians, I'm taking out any money front sucker on a Hummel that gets in my way. So I tell you what. When your so-called revolution starts, you call me. And I'll be right down front showing you how it's done. But until then, you need to shut the fuck up when grown folks is talking.
What up, what up, what up, what up, what up, world? It's your boy, Coolie Main.
You got your girl Monica here.
It's your boy, Crystal.
And we got a special guest, Hi.
What's up, guys? What's up?
And y'all know what it is. It's time to plug them headphones in, put the kids to bed, and let's begin to listen. It's grown-ups talk. We're going to talk to Haas about these beats, his journey, and all the good stuff. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's go. What up, world?
Hi, everyone.
How's it going?
Shit going right now, bro. Shout out to AK, you know what I mean? He on the injured reserve right now.
My fallen soldier.
He going through a little something, you know what I mean? Come make the episode and all that.
Get well soon,
AK.
Definitely. Sending all the well wishes towards AK Way, you know what I mean? Outside of that, I want to take this time, you know what I mean, to show our supporters, our fans, know what I mean, our peoples out there in the world, some love. Know what I mean, we appreciate the fact that y'all sit down a Monday, y'all listen to the content we dropping. Know what I mean, y'all download, y'all like, y'all share, y'all follow. Know what I mean, you tell everybody about it. It takes a special type of y'all to appreciate a special type of us, and we appreciate that. Know what I mean.
And I'm gonna steal AK's motto, and I think I'm gonna say it wrong, but make sure you like, share, and follow. I tried. I miss AK. It's not the same.
Shout out to AK.
So we gonna push this through.
Word. So know what I mean, what brings us here today, know what I mean, as I start this sermon. Nah.
Where we
nah.
At?
We had to show some love to the, know what I mean, the person who is the silent partner in the Grown Ups Talk podcast, know what I mean? Haas Almighty, know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Black Rain, that's what it is on Twitter.
Yeah. Am I really on it, though? I'm not really on it, though.
This guy's a genius.
Yeah, so, know what I mean? He's the person who was responsible of the beat that y'all hear drop so heavily on your heads right after they tell you to shut the fuck up when grown folks is talking.
True.
That beat that I'm waiting for Nas to get on.
Word. Know what I mean? We got Christian. Know what I mean? See Eddie on Instagram. Know what I mean?
See,
we got him.
Eddie.
Yeah, we got him in
that was a correction. Hi, guys.
We got him filling in for the boy AK. But we gonna we basically gonna show some love to Haas. Know what I mean? We gonna dig a little deep, give him a little interview real quick for y'all to understand where this man is coming from, his journey, and know what I mean, what brings him from this past to this present that you're seeing right now. Like, you feel me? You like
so how, I like just want to say, I just want to say that when I heard your beat, it's absolutely sickening.
Thank you.
But I mean that like that in a good way.
Oh,
like,
okay.
The beat was just like, holy crap.
I like that.
Who this guy? Where he come from? You know what I mean? And even before we incorporated into our podcast, Coolie Main was playing it when I was coming upstairs, and my head was already jammed. I'm like, oh, shit. It's like, that's tough. Who made
that? I appreciate that.
So it's really good. I just want to say I am so honored to just be hanging out with you in the studio and just sitting here with you, because it's always good to know the person behind your beat.
Thank you.
So right. With further ado, I have questions.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready.
I have questions. So obviously, you know, you're coming from a whole different world when you make these beats. Do you ever have to put thought into them, or is it just something that just pop up?
Nah, there's thought. There's I call it like a feeling. Every day I feel something different. So when I make a track, it's based on how I feel that day. So whether it's I'm sad, happy, angry, depressed, in deep thought, or events I go through, whether it's family or friends or at work, it's an emotional thing. So that's my connection with making a beat.
I like that. I like hearing that though, because I mean, when you in there and you making the beats, I mean, you feeling it, like you all the way in it. It's not just you punching a pad and hoping it come out on a good rhythm. Like, it's
right.
Real feeling behind
real
it.
Real like feeling behind
it. You can feel it, like, especially when that beat drop, like, every time, no matter how many times I'm hearing it. Like,
you just have no choice but to bob your head.
Right. Like, yeah.
You're just like one of those beats. Like, you know it came from somewhere.
It commands your attention. Like,
right. Trying to break someone's neck, you know what I mean? Okay.
I mean, like, breaking necks and stuff.
So let me ask you this generic ass question.
All right.
What got you into making beats? Like, what made you say, yeah, I could do that?
Wow. My dad. Well, actually, let me go down to the basics. So my grandmother from my dad's side, like, they were in a band, so they played, like, you know, actual horns and drums. They were real musicians.
Word.
So my dad.
Real musicians.
Yeah, real musicians.
I like that.
Like, not computerized stuff.
Word,
you know what I
mean? Word.
And then my dad was always into music. So he used to be a rapper, and he knew a lot of old school rappers and stuff. Like, he knew KRS-One. He showed me pictures and stuff.
Word.
So as soon as I saw that, I felt like, damn, I should be connected with music. So one day when I was like 12 or 13, he bought this music program. He's like, I'm going to make some house music. I saw
Lovely.
Him play.
I love house music.
I mean, he's from
New
York.
A lot of people don't know about house music, but house music is definitely the way.
He's from New York, nice so music. He loves that deep, soulful house music. You
yes,
know what I mean?
Yes.
So I fell in love with that. And then, like, when he bought the program, you know, he was like, it's a lot to deal with, man. So many buttons. And I played it for like 3 hours and I fell in love with it. I was stuck on it, literally. Like, I didn't have no girlfriend. I ain't no friends. I cut everybody off and just played music.
So was there ever a time that you got tired of making music and producing music?
Never.
Never. Okay, never. So this has been something that was ongoing.
Yeah, it's been going on. It's been ongoing.
Was there ever a time that you got discouraged?
One time, like my uncle he used to be from New London. And he lived next to DJ Marley Marr. I don't know if y'all know who he is.
Yes, I know. Definitely. Definitely know who that is.
So he said, yo, I got something for you, Haas. Because he's the first person to call me Haas. That's how I got the name.
Word.
And I didn't realize Haas is actually like it's a sound of music. If you look in Google, Haas sounds, you know what I mean? Mm. So anyway, he introduced me to him. And I didn't know who he was. He's like, this is the originator. Like, this is the guy. So I met him in New London. He's like, yo, your music is good, man. Like, you know, I probably could help you out, blah, blah, blah. So he taught me how to make music.
Word.
Yeah.
Nice.
He taught me how to make music, like use the MPC and stuff like that. So I was like, all right, this might be my shot.
Word. So DJ Marley Marr is.
Yeah. The DJ Marley Marr.
That's your mentor.
That was my mentor. Yeah.
Word.
Nice.
Yeah, that's some dope shit. Yeah. It's not too often you hear.
Nah.
I mean, you being somebody taking you under your wing of that stature.
Right.
Like, you know
exactly.
What I mean?
So
some dope shit.
That was some cool stuff, man.
Word.
And I couldn't afford none of that equipment. Obviously, it was too expensive. Or
right.
So he went his separate way. I did my separate thing. And then, I don't know. I couldn't stop making music after that. So
that's what's up.
Yeah.
Bro.
That was that.
That's definitely what's up. So, I know the answer to this, but for the people, what is, like, what would you say your sound is more based on as far as genre of music?
It's more boom bap, so like that 90s sound.
Right.
But now, it's like, it's there, but now I'm mixing in between, like, the whole trap beats and stuff, but it's still, like, my sound, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right. Throwing your twist on it.
Yeah, throwing my twist on it, because I did a beat battle contest in New York like 3 years ago, and I won.
Right.
But I was the only person from Connecticut that went to that tournament. Everybody was from New York and Philly.
Mm.
So they're like, how you from Connecticut? You got like that 90s grit, grimy, boom bap sound. I'm
right.
It's just something I love, man, you know? And then, but I realized the culture loves that trap sound. That's why I was surprised I won, because everyone was trap.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
they're like,
right.
And they heard that. They're like, yo. This kid sound like you know, like Premier or somebody else, you know what I mean? So that was lit, though, you know.
I think it was feel-good music, though.
Yeah.
Because we can listen to the trap sound, and we can get that. We can't get that same feeling that we would get if we were to listen to the sound that you're producing and other people that was in the 80s and the 90s were producing, because it's a different type of music.
Right.
So it's more of a feel good music.
Right.
Yeah, those type of beats, the lyrics just stick out on. Right. Like you can hide behind the trap beats and not really have too much lyrically to offer.
True.
But when you jump on one of them boom baps, or I mean something with the bounce,
facts.
That's
what I get all the time from people. Like I make beats with them, they're like, "Yo, like your stuff, I gotta actually make like a song. Like I can't just rap on it."
Right.
And I used to discourage me because like I feel like nobody wants to rap on that type of music. Everybody want that, you know. I want just freestyling real quick type music. So I felt discouraged. Like maybe I shouldn't make beats like that, you know, because some people didn't know how to handle it.
Right.
And I was like, okay, maybe I need to simplify my stuff. But I'm like, nah, that's just my sound. I'm gonna
that
stick
would
with
take
it.
Away from who you are,
right? Right.
So out of that pressure of being marginalized, like how did you adjust to that?
I tried to adapt. I'm not going to lie. That trap music, man, I was not into it. Like I thought it was to me as a producer, that's a 5-minute beat. I can make that in 2 minutes. There's no real thought to it. There's no type of, you know, like I like to dissect things like sounds and try to make them, you know, manipulate it and stuff. This one is simple. It's too simple. I don't do simple. I like
complications.
Yeah. And try to think hard. I don't know. It sounds nerdy, but it's just hard.
No, it doesn't. Not at all.
Because, I mean, when you think of the greats as far as like Timbaland, Swizz Beatz, Pharrell, their beats are complex.
Right.
You know, it's not just a regular 808 and then they probably have like a snare behind.
Facts.
It's not that.
Not at all.
You hear all types of bells and horns and
mm-hmm.
all these other kind of instruments, and, you know, things that you're not going to hear from like what's his name? Young Metro or...
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I'm learning to respect that because, like, you know, Metro Boomin and all that, like, simplicity is the wave right now. And I'm trying to learn that way, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm sure that's difficult.
Yeah.
Transitioning.
The whole less is more thing.
Right.
That type of thing. Yeah, I get it. I'm still trying to become a fan of it, but I mean, I'm giving it a shot. Some people like a J. Cole, he's still like he kind of is finding a niche between the two, like, and he making it work,
mm-hmm.
and I'm fucking with it.
Right.
But I can't be too trap all day, and I can't be too boom bap all mm-hmm. day. Like, I don't know. Like, Jay being my favorite rapper,
mm-hmm.
he has certain records that, like, he'll just say in the track, like, you'll hear him say, yo, he'll point out the bounce. Like, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And
true.
That's what I fuck with it. The bounce. If the bounce is right, or if the rhythm is right in it, I could fuck with it.
Facts.
But if it's just too much 808 and nothing else, or if it's just too much snare and nothing else,
mm-hmm.
I can't really fuck with it.
And like, it's crazy because when I listened to the Holy Grail album, that's what made me consider like doing trap beats. I'm not gonna lie, because when I heard Jay rapping, I'm like, you could tell he has to conform,
mm-hmm.
but he made it still his own style with the gritty stuff. You know what I mean? So
right.
I was like, all right, so there could be trap that sounds technical. It don't gotta be simplistic.
Right.
I mean, but that's one of the things that. That's one of the reasons why we love Jay, because Jay, like, his flow can just adjust to any beat that you throw at
right.
him. And, you know, he can make a hit out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
You throw a trap beat at him, cool.
Mm-hmm.
You throw a little boom bap or, like, that little Houston slow,
mm-hmm.
you know, groove kind of beat.
Cool. Yeah, he adapts.
So how much of a perfectionist are you?
Highly.
Like when you okay, well, I was going to go deeper into that, but you said highly.
Yeah, highly.
So what makes a good beat for you? Like, what is quality to you versus what is not?
This is my biggest thing. There's two producers that I like, and I figure out who their engineer was, because there's a certain sound that I like. So this is a guy that I like named Ill Mind. And he was actually there during a tournament when I won. So he's a Filipino producer.
Word.
And he made beats for like 50 Cent and them,
mm-hmm.
Eminem and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was cool to meet him and stuff. You know, I was stuttering and stuff. You know,
yeah,
it was that, like, yeah, yo, what's up?
A little bit of starstruck.
Yeah, starstruck. You know, it happens, you know. And he was like, yo, he said, you could definitely make it. Be consistent and keep doing it. You actually have your own sound. Don't listen to what other people think and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, I appreciate that. But what makes me a perfectionist is I like to have a sound that sounds wide. It sounds weird, but like a stereo sound. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to explain it, but my drums have to be like on point. The snares have to be on point. The hats, the way it's bouncing, like it's intricate. It has to be a certain way. And if it's not, then I'm not happy with it. Like my dad would tell me all the time, you know, you make like 20 beats in one day and you only keep like five. Mm. And he said, how you know, like, those other beats somebody might like? I'm like, yeah, it's true, but if I'm not satisfied with it, then no one's going to get it, you know?
Right, right.
So I'm a perfectionist. I just the way I am, you know?
Do you feel like that's, like, your downfall when looking for artists to jump on one of your beats?
Hell yeah.
Because you're not, if you're only comfortable with what you're bringing out there and those other beats are just sitting there in the corner, I feel like your dad is right. To a certain degree, like, you may not know that one beat that you may not find hot, someone else can jump on and make it a straight classic.
That's my flaw.
So, yeah. Well, at least you're
that's my flaw. That's your flaw. I know, yeah. Like, I mean, it takes a real man to admit it, but I know that's my flaw. My dad would remind me all the time, like, what you think is garbage that you made someone find that hot, and that might be an instant classic. So now, like, the recent 2 years from now, like, I've been keeping the beats I don't like. I just store them somewhere. So if someone wants something, I just like, yo, just try them out and see if you like it. So
now, do you do listening parties where artists can come and listen to the beats and they can auction up the ones that they want?
I did one at the Omni Hotel like eight or 9 years ago with this girl. She was like a model and she knew some people or whatever. It was weird, like, playing my beats and people are just, like, dancing and eating food. But they're like, oh, it's nice. Yeah. You know, it's nice okay. Music, though. Like, I like it, though. It's like, it's a nice vibe. Who made the music? And they're like, that guy right there. And then, like, you know, like, I'll sell the beat and that's it. But it was uncomfortable. It's weird as a producer to hear your music playing in front of people. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Even at the beat battle concert, it was weird. I felt awkward. But then I was, like, vibing with my stuff, you know what I mean?
But I think that come from, like, because me being an artist, like, I mean, doing shows and shit, like, you know, like, the imperfections in your work. And you know, like, especially, like, preparing for a contest, if you didn't get to touch a certain part in the beat that you wanted to, mm-hmm. but you're like, yo, fuck it, I got to play it. I'm going to play it, and I'm going to look at everybody's reaction. And their reaction might be wild, but you cringing on the right. inside, like, oh, I fucking hate that part. Right. Like, it's weird as fuck. It's weird. Definitely is weird.
It's weird.
The question I got for you is, I hear you mentioning your pops a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't hear that a lot, you know what I mean? Shout out to your pops for being present.
Shout definitely, out to pops.
Yes, yeah, shout out. Shout we out love it when grown men step major up. Kid.
Right, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Right. But how big of a role or how important is it to you, I would say, to have your father there through your musical journey?
It's huge. It's definitely huge. He's a big impact in my life. He makes me who I am. I'm the exact version of him. Just a younger version, you know what I mean? So, like, knowing my pops, like, my pops is very, I don't know the word, I guess it's multidimensional. He's good at everything, but he just can't narrow it down to what he should excel at, you know what
word,
I mean?
Word.
So my dad was really good at basketball, really good, and he had a college degree, well, a free scholarship.
Word.
But, you know, some things happened, got injured or whatever, and so he started doing music. Like I say, he was really good at rapping, and he met a lot of old school rappers and stuff, but he didn't pursue it because he had me.
Right.
So in a way, I feel like I kind of owe him in a way. But he still tells me, like, music shouldn't be, like, your objective. But I want to prove him wrong, being so I can make him happy. Like, dang, you made it. Like, I'm glad you did it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I did. And I never told no one. So y'all getting some content. But
yay!
I had a producer contract at one point.
Word.
And what they do is they give you, like, a contract. So let's say they give you like $100 million or let's say $100,000.
Right.
So you have to use that money to promote yourself, get an artist, and hope that you can get that money back. So it's a loan. Right. Just like anybody else here, it's a loan.
Yeah.
So people don't know in the industry, it's a loan. Like they say you get a big contract, you got to pay them back.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
Because they basically giving you what they think they're going to make off you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it didn't work out the way I expected because, you know, the artist I thought was trash. And it was I'm not gonna lie, like I had one point where I met I ain't met him, but I talked to him. It was Havoc. No. What's the other guy that passed away from Mobb Deep?
Prodigy.
Yeah. Prodigy hit me up on Facebook, and there was a guy that had named Hot Rod, and he wanted to. You know what Hot Rod is?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. He wanted. So he wanted to rap on some of my beats, and I was just not feeling it.
You discriminated against trash beaters?
Yes. Yes. And my dad told me, like, you know, don't judge them. Just sell the beat and see where it goes. But me, it's personal. Like, if I had a beat, I want you to rap on it and put your soul into it, man. Talk about something with substance or something.
Because you put so much into it. Right. You don't want to just, you know, let it go to waste.
So much time into it, you know? Like, I want you to do the exact same thing that I'm putting this beat into. All the effort.
So what are you looking for in a rapper, then? Because you're saying that you know people are trash. Obviously you're going to withhold beats from them. What is it that you're looking for in a rapper?
Yeah, like, what's your idea?
Or an artist in general? Because I can tell you right now, I'm sure singers can sing over your beats as
a
well.
A lot. And I heard a few, and it's lovely. It made me cry. Okay. Holy shit. I'm not going to lie. Like, my ex, like, she does theater, so she could sing. So I let her, like, sing a couple of my tracks. I'm like, that sound crazy. Like, word. You know what I mean? But rapper-wise, they got to be, you know, this guy right here in front of me, Cooley. Word. You know? Or
appreciate that.
Or somebody yeah. with a conscious idea, but still can, like, you need a way to convey words to, like, the people with a conscious minds, or also people who don't have it. Right. So you can catch their, you know, their attention. Right. Because that's the objective. You can't catch everyone's attention, but you want to try to. It's how you convey your words. That's what I think. If you convey your words a certain way my beat is, and compliment it, then it's perfect. Like, I think that's perfect chemistry. And there isn't a lot of people I met that's like that.
Have you ever had a fallout with an artist?
Yeah, with one guy. He rapped on the track, and he thought it was, like, the hottest thing ever.
Oh, shit.
And I put a title to the beat, so he puts a match with the title.
Right.
He was like, nah, I don't feel that. So he rapped with some trap stuff. Like, okay, my life, you know, my parents had money, so I lived in good areas, never lived in bad areas. So I don't relate to that. I understand it.
Right.
But it's just like, if I never lived through it, I don't want to hear it in the music, you know? But there's that trap stuff is, the drug dealing and all that. So it's cute. But
keep it cute.
Yeah, yeah. There was a wave where that was cool. You know what I mean? There was a wave where that was cool. That's what we had to talk about.
You said
about.
That shit was cute.
Shout out
for real though. Shout out to him for being real. Being
shout
honest,
out to
Haas, like,
yo.
You know what I mean?
Real
being
stuff.
Honest. He being honest on it. Like, you know what I mean?
You know who you are, dog.
Word. Oh, shit.
Shit.
You know what? I gotta get a picture with this guy after. Yo. This is crazy. Just in case you do make it somewhere, you just put it out there. Like, I'm sure that person is sitting there like, this motherfucker.
Yo, so let me ask you this, Haas, right? I mean, did you have any other, outside of music, did you have any other, like, dreams and aspirations, like things you wanted to do or achieve or seeing yourself going down as far as a career path?
I'll probably say career-wise, I mean, my dad told me music's not a career, so I had to keep that in mind. And I did want to go to school to be, like, a music engineer, but he said there's nothing you could do with it. So that discouraged me, you know. But I was the first to get a bachelor's degree in my family.
Word.
Nice.
Word. And then my sister got it that's after. Dope. So that's a huge accomplishment. You know,
definitely
what I mean?
Is. So, hell yeah. Hats off to you for that.
Yeah, that was hard. I'm not going to lie. but yeah, that was the biggest thing. I mean, there's many more I want. Like you know, I discuss without the mic on. Like, I want to get my master's degree. And I like the criminology part, like how people think and the psychological part. So I'm a nerd, you know what I mean? But
no, but
that's not a nerd. That's an educated black man.
There we go. Yeah, I like that word.
We're not going to use that because it's like the stigma that everybody, you know, if you're smart and you strive to be great with your academics, you're a nerd. Right. And that's not the case.
Right.
Like, let's not use that as like a negative.
Right,
that's definitely
right.
A positive.
Especially as a black man. Yeah, yeah.
Especially as a black man.
We definitely don't discriminate against the education.
Exactly.
You're right.
Yeah, we embrace the education over here, man.
Right.
Shit. God damn it. Somebody I'll take the goddamn question.
Go ahead,
Christian. It's pretty much cliche, but top five producers.
Oh, shit.
I can't do that five.
Whoa.
Oh, shit.
That wasn't cliche
five.
At all.
Wow.
Put you right up there.
Right.
Let's
on
see.
The spot. All
let's
right.
go.
Well, my number one got to be this producer named And he effed me over, but his name is M Phases, Australian producer. Number two would be Illmind. Number three would be Kanye West. Mm. Number four would be, it gotta be Pete Rock. Mm. And then number five, honestly.
He had to crack his neck.
Number five. I mean, I want to target someone who's like, you know, here, like in this generation. So like Cardiac. I don't know if y'all know who Cardiac is, mm-hmm. but he make beats for like Rick Ross and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
he's that Maybach music guy.
Yeah. The trap beats and stuff. But his stuff sounds technical. So I like his stuff. So
I like the fact that you got the mix of, I mean, the industry, I mean, a couple of industry names in it that we know of, mm-hmm. then a couple of maybe not so popular people.
Yeah, like behind the scenes.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody.
Good.
I'm just sitting here like, I'm going to Google this when everybody leaves. I don't know nobody.
That's all right, though.
I'm not really big. You know what? Honestly, I just like music that makes me feel good.
Right.
I think in our episodes before, we was speaking about music, and I'm the type of person that if it makes me feel good, I'll purchase it. Mm. So I crown myself somebody who has an ear for music that's garbage. Mm. So it only takes me 10 seconds to figure out if the shit's garbage and throw it away.
Right.
So
that's the goal, you know?
Feel good music. It's very hard. And I'm not listening to one type of music. I listen to all types. I listen to rock and roll, alternative.
Yep.
Now, with that being said, do you see yourself going over maybe to that side, like more rock and roll? Like, are you diverse or you're just, you know, straight house?
Mine is in between. Currently is between hip hop and trap, but I do house music. I just never released it, but I realize house music makes the most money because it's global. It's not just,
it's party music.
Yeah, it's party music. Feel good music, and it's the easiest thing to ever do.
Word.
Like to me, it is.
What about rock and roll?
Rock and roll. I wish I could play a guitar or that type of guitar, but if I could, I would. You know, I like neo soul. I make neo soul music. Or
oh, that's different. That's real different.
Yeah. I love neo soul.
Yeah.
Or like
what about jazz?
Jazz. That's like my alley.
Yeah, that's okay. I was gonna say, I love some jazz music.
He be throwing some samples in there. You're like, ooh,
especially with horns and stuff. I love
that stuff. Now, can you play any of the I'm gonna say this word wrong,
instruments?
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. the piano. I used to be an expert, but now it's like I'll say intermediate, you know. I'm good at the piano.
Gotta get back to your craft.
And the drums, definitely. And the sax, just a little bit. My dad's better, but just the sax.
Word.
So. Oh, that's okay. I used to play the sax as well.
Yeah, that's hard.
So almost every male I know that do music. Oh, I played the saxophone. Shit, I played the saxophone too before. For real. That's serious. Y'all laughing. Nah, for real.
It's hard. Did you?
How hard is it to read music?
That part is not like, hard. Cause
well,
like
not, for you is not, but for, let's say if you're taking me under your wing and I've never seen a piece of music before ever, how hard is it?
It just, I think even with music or just dealing with life in general, everything has repetition. So the more you keep doing it, you're going to know it. So I don't think anything's hard. It's just the more you keep repeating it and doing it and doing it, and you just start to realize it, you know. But I took classes for it, but I taught myself how to play the piano. I got frustrated because I feel like the classes or the courses I was in wasn't teaching me, so I took the initiative and did it myself. So I actually taught myself how to play like actual neo soul chords, like triads and major seven, minor seven, minor seventh, and all that.
That's dope.
Yeah, that's dope. It took me a year, I'm not gonna lie, but you gotta want it. Like in life, you just gotta want something, you know. Because I felt limited. I'm like, why? I don't need to sample all the time. I want to make my own music. And then I love electric pianos. So I used to have like
a... He said that shit mad.
I love it, yo. Like, my uncle had a Rhodes piano. And that thing is huge. It was like old school.
Word.
And I was like, yo, this thing is beautiful. It's like making love to it. Man, I ain't going to lie. It sounds weird, but it's just... the sounds is
Nah, everybody got their
that's the passion. Yeah, that's how I feel about when I'm asleep and when I roll over to get something to eat. Making love to that
Twinkie. Making love to that Twinkie.
Shout out to the Midnight Snacks.
Midnight Snacks would be the greatest.
Nothing wrong with that. I love it too.
Not at all.
I love that passion, especially when it comes from somebody that's trying to, well, that perfects a craft.
Right.
Because, like, there's certain people like Tyler, the Creator. I don't know if you any like.
I like him.
Yeah. Like, he's real passionate about music.
He is.
Like, he.
I didn't know he could play instruments. His band could play instruments. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I only like one woman, Sid the Kid.
Yeah.
That is it. She is just as tough as she want to be. I swear to goodness. Word. I can't look at her, but she makes some blazing ass music. I've said that already several times.
I know how I feel. Which one is the internet? Is that a group?
That's them. That's them.
My brother
put
me on. I was like, oh, snap. That's nice. I like
that. Very nice stuff.
Let me ask you this, Haas, right? Cliche, I mean, typical ass question to ask a producer. Dead or alive, give me your top three artists that you would love to be on one of your beats.
Top three,
dead or alive.
Common.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry, I'm a little sideline like, yes.
Napoleon Dynamite, yes.
Had to hit him with the Pedro.
I'll say Common. I would say Kendrick, definitely. And the third one would be, I like Fabulous.
Word.
I got a few beats for him, man.
Word.
So that'd be nice.
So if you listening, you know what I mean?
You should get this out to Fab.
Definitely. I mean,
nice. So I'm going to start hitting you with the hard questions because the easy questions came about.
Okay.
So here's the hard questions.
Let's go.
All right.
I'm ready.
So tell me a time that you found yourself selling yourself short.
I bought this piano synthesizer. It was a Phantom X7, and it cost a G for this bad boy. So I'm thinking, when I buy this, I'm about to make some magic happen. I'm gonna sell all these beats and stuff. And it was like a huge learning curve. Like, it was so much buttons and configurations that it just discouraged me. I didn't make beats for like 2 months.
Word.
I didn't have an MPC, which is like a drum pad. I couldn't afford it. I could have bought it with that, but I didn't do it. Word. Anyway. Wow. So yeah. For 2 months I didn't make no beats. So that like set myself short. I was like, yeah, I can't do this. And I had to build the confidence back. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn everything about the machine. And once I did it, and then the magic happened. But that was probably the first time I ever went through that ever. Yeah.
I'm just going to keep hitting you with these questions.
Keep going. I love it. Keep going.
How many times has music interfered with your relationship with a female?
Countless times. Countless times. You know, I get the.
Here we go.
How many times you had to kick a woman to the curb for your music? You sound like a lonely man.
Yeah, I mean, I had a girl break up with me because she said I put too much time into it and not her. And that hurt for a while. And I had one girl that said that, you know, it's either me or the music.
Oh, wow. Shit.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, that ended.
The music, baby. Yeah. The music.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. And then I had one where I was close again, like a producer contract in New York, like New York, New York. Mm-hmm. And I had to be there for like, I don't know, like a month. And she made me make an ultimatum about it. So I chose her. I should have chose that, but yeah, it was tough. It's tough being in a relationship.
You're not with her now?
No.
Shit, life happens.
Life happens.
Yeah, I know. Life happens.
Right.
Life definitely happens.
So did that happen after you kicked the other girls to the curb? Like, did you, like...
You trying to find out if you're...
Did you feel like you sacrificed too much to the point where it's like, all right, so maybe...
Third time the charm type thing. Yeah. This time I'm going to say, yeah, and see how I work out.
Yeah, I mean, in my last relationship, like I said, I went to the tournament, and then my ex during the time couldn't go because she had to work. So that kind of like discouraged me. But when I won, she didn't show no type of like appreciation or how it was like, okay, like I expect you to win, you know, but it's like, nah, I want you to make me feel like, yeah, you like, know, man, I'm the man, Superman, I made it, like, you know, yeah, what I mean? Yeah. And so when I won that tournament, there was a next one going for the finalists in Texas, and she said she couldn't go. So it's just like, it sucks when you don't have the support.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you feel like you don't have the drive no more. Like, you want someone to tell you you can do these things. So,
yeah, that's something that we talked about in our relationship episode, the communication and being, being a support system for your spouse.
Like, yeah, it's critical. It's important, man.
You got to be there. You got to show, even if you ain't the most passionate about what they're doing or what they choose to do for a profession, mm-hmm. if they're passionate about it, you at least got to be their support system.
You
got to
be there.
Yeah, know, like, definitely do.
You got to. So, you know, out of all those relationships, end up not being with those girls. So,
anything happened for a reason.
Yeah, it
huh?
happens, you know.
So, if you could turn back the hands of time, what would you turn back? Just with everything that you experienced throughout your music journey and with the relationship, because obviously in my, the way I look at it, music goes hand in hand with your relationships. Mm. And I'm guessing that it transcends, like, I'm sure if you are, you know, feeling loved and just happy,
right.
it radiates through your music.
Right.
So if you can turn back the hands of time and change anything, what would that be?
I think I would give up on music for that one girl. I think I would. If I can go back in time, you know.
That's deep.
Yeah.
Was that's the love deep. That deep?
Look, yeah. look at the way their faces look. They're like, oh.
It was that deep.
Because, I mean, I'm still young. I'm only 25. But back in high school, there was a girl that, you know, she tried to make me choose between her and football. And, you know, of course, I'm not choosing, you know, a girl over something that I love more, you know?
You're right.
I grew up my whole life watching football, wanted to play football. And then to be faced with that, nah, I'm not choosing no girl.
Right.
Yeah, see, I made that face because any woman that genuinely wants to be with you, it wouldn't matter what your passion is. They wouldn't never try to draw the bridge between you and your passion. They would either embrace it or respect the fact that that's your passion and that's what you're chasing and just be the support for or let you get your space and your time for it. And it's your job, I guess, when you with that person to be with that person and about that person for the time that you're there.
See, I agree and disagree. It's just like, I mean, what I learned is you have to balance out what you love and also being with somebody you love, like your passion. Like, I feel like, and it sounds sad, but it has to be like that. But, like, if I'm – when I'm making music, I'm in a whole nother world.
Yeah,
no
that's
one,
what I'm saying.
No one
yeah.
exists to me. Yeah. Like, you could be talking. I don't hear you.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's like if I'm with that person, I need to put it on hold. Mm-hmm. And whatever temporary time I have with them, enjoy it. And then when they're gone, then I go to beast mode. Yeah, but I couldn't differentiate between them. I was like, yo.
So that's what you couldn't section it off.
I couldn't.
The way, yeah,
that like, was my flaw, man. I get
what you're saying.
I was like, just give me like 5 minutes, and 5 minutes turned to 5 hours. Give me like more, and it's like 10 yeah. hours. And like, yeah. all right, so you into this music after you then, you know?
I was yeah.
like, all right.
I get you on that.
So, yeah.
But if, all right, so if it was anything else in the world that you can do besides make music, what would it be?
Basketball.
Word.
I was really good at basketball. Really, really good at basketball. And I got injured. If I didn't get injured, I know damn well I would not be here talking to you right now.
Well, damn.
I'm just saying.
I take my picture back. Shit.
JK.
Yeah, you throw that out too many times. Shit. JK. Closing my camera phone right now.
My pop said it all the time to me all the time. He says, you know, if I didn't get injured, man, you know, you wouldn't exist right now.
What injury you had though?
On my ankle.
Oh, word.
Yeah. Them ankles, man.
It's fine. I mean, but it took
take
a while.
You out.
Yeah. Someone did some dirty stuff, so you know.
Things happen. You dunking on niggas and they clipping you off the air type shit.
Yeah,
right?
It cut me off, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and laugh. You know how it is.
All in the game of basketball. It's a contact sport. I used to play basketball too. That's what I'm like, it's all in the game of basketball.
Oh, yeah.
I've had people pull my hair, I have people push me, I have people
pull your hair. That sounds like you got to
yeah.
But you was playing ball in the 70s?
No, I was playing ball with a whole bunch of women from a whole different state. All white team, all black team go against each other, and they had to do what they had to do to try to win.
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't win because we had the best Cassie. Shout out to Cassie. The best three-point shooter ever. She was the only white girl on the team, but though she was sick, all her shots was wet. She never missed.
Not to sound racist or anything, but just asking like just a question as far as people like playing ball. Cause I play organized ball. Obviously you did too. Did you notice a difference from playing against like white players and black players?
Are we interviewing me?
I'm just asking. I'm just asking though, because I don't know. From my experience, it's like, you know.
Well, I answered this question, but I'm going to turn my questions back on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, please do. Yeah.
So, yes, there is a big difference because people of color have a different way. We're more, I would say we're passionate about it. We're very passionate about it, but we're also aggressive.
Right.
Like, we bring in the whole game to the table.
Right.
We talking shit on that court. We fucking growling. We doing everything. Whatever it is that we have to do, we gonna do it.
Right.
Now, white people, they have a different way. They're really silent. Mm-hmm. At least the ones that I've played with, and I've been to tons of tournaments mm-hmm. and championships, very silent. They're not gonna talk shit. They ain't gonna argue with no ref. It's like, oh well.
Right.
You know, they called it out for a good reason. You know, and you know, black people, we don't do that.
No.
We don't do that. We talk hella shit. We push, we shove.
Facts.
And then the way I played for women, so the way the white women played, they like to do rainbow shots. That's what we used to call it, where you just, the nails are extended in there.
Oh, shit. Wow.
And we're
if only y'all could have seen this shit she just showed us.
We're like, right. And we're like swishers. Like, this is
right
swish, but they're... Rainbows. It's like a big difference, but it was an experience because of course the way they run, their hair got to wiggle back and forth. I mean, there's a whole bunch of shit.
Yo,
I'm
you
dead.
Asked the wrong
I'm
person
dead.
This question, bro.
Yo, shout out to everyone because you know I had somebody saying, I'm just gonna interrupt your interview real quick. Mm. I had someone say that I'd be saying too much racist shit. I am far from racist. I make fun of a lot of people. I make fun of black people, white people. Everybody get made fun of. So I'm not racist at all. It's just that I'm calling it for what it is. But back to Haas, because Haas, ladies and gentlemen, is a genius when it comes down to music. Enough to get me bobbing my head.
Mm.
So I have a question for you. How many women are throwing themselves at you daily?
Ah, Christ.
Shout out to the pimping.
I hope my girlfriend's not listening, but
so that question will be one, just her. Let me help a brother out real quick.
Please
back,
do.
Why are you backing my
Please
brother
do.
Into a corner? Oh,
shoot. I told you these questions get tough.
Right.
But seriously, how many women throw them after you tell them about what you do and what you could, like where you were going at with right. your career? How many women are actually throwing themselves at you? Because producers get it too. It's not just artists that get thrown at. Producers,
I don't
hit the stage somewhere.
I don't know the numbers, but I'll just say I never go through a dry spell. Like, never in my life.
Jesus.
I'll say that, you know.
Shout out.
Confidence. Must be nice.
What about you guys? Now let me stop. Let me stop.
I'm pretty sure my girl's going to listen to this. So.
And you ain't about to get me killed. So I'm a...
Guys, it's all in good fun. It's You're all in good fun. It's all in good fun.
Disclaimer. No, let me stop.
So Haas, have you ever had to be confrontational with somebody? Like actually fight somebody? Because they said your beat was trash?
No. I was hurt, but it just made me want to work on my game more.
Oh, so you're not that aggressive type of person.
Nah,
you're not going to attack somebody because they tell you your beat is trash.
Nah, I think there's always room for improvement, you know, whether he don't like me personally or maybe he just don't like my beat, but there's always room for improvement. So I never take it that way. I feel like if you're a trash rapper, nah, you're not entitled to an opinion.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's just, savage. That's
Facts. So,
sheesh.
All right. I know you got another hobby you do. You know what I mean? Kicking ass and taking names. 2K.
What?
You can find them on YouTube. You know what I mean? What the hell made you start taping these ass whoopings, man?
Wait. I'm lying. What?
He's
you beating people asses over
2K? Now help me understand. He played 2K. Now I mean,
oh, it's a game.
Yeah. NBA 2K.
I got so scared. I was like, oh shit.
Nah,
people getting ass kicked. What the fuck?
Nah, I ain't about that.
Ain't that a hobby?
He not the bootleg world star. Nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You see me cut a cot and side eye. I just know that. Shit, he went from being humble to like gangster.
Nah, I just know that he played 2K, and I mean, he a YouTuber. I mean, he put it up there, and I mean, he filmed this shit. So my question to you is, what made you start doing it? What became the thing? Like, yo, fuck it, I'm gonna just start videotaping these ass whoopings and giving tutorials.
Oh shit.
One day I met this dude in IKEA, and he was there for like 2 months, and he left. But he was like, yo, if you play video games, you know what I mean, you can record it on YouTube and make money. And I was like, I never heard that in my life, dog. Like, you make money off of recording your video games? That sounds crazy.
Right.
So, like, I play, like, obviously, like I said, I love basketball. And I like the coaching side of basketball. So, I know playbooks and I know, you know, hedging and all the other stuff, you know, organized ball.
Right.
So, I rarely lose in 2K. Now, that sounds cocky, but it's just because my IQ is so high. When I meet somebody who's not there, I just destroy them.
Gotta admit, you the only person I know to actually run plays while we fucking playing. And right. I never think that shit gonna work, but it fucking works. Right. And it gets on my nerves. Anyway, go ahead. I'll let you get back to it.
So, he was like, yo, you know, just keep grinding and record these videos, you know what I mean, and you'll get there. So I was like, all right, let me try it. So it was a trial and error. So one day I just started doing tutorials on how to make playbooks and videos and how to get good at the game, and people started digging it. So it went from like 1K views to 12K views and went to 64K views, and it went up. So I'm like, all right, people digging my stuff. So I started doing the videos, and people asking, how are you winning? Because I'm trying the same thing you're doing, and it don't work for me, but it worked for you.
Right.
And then you can't tell everybody your secrets. You know
true.
I mean? You can't do that.
I was going to say, definitely. Can you reveal some of those
secrets?
Yeah,
you can't tell nobody your secrets.
I hope y'all ain't think he was about to just give it all away.
No, I honestly thought so. I was like, okay, he's about to spend some jewels.
Right. She about to go home, start playing her husband, kicking his ass.
I didn't even know what 2K, what is it called? 2K?
That's 2K, what it is? NBA,
yeah,
NBA
2K. Yeah, I'm about to say, I don't even play video games, so that wouldn't work. I think the most video game I'm going to play is Mortal Kombat. I play that game. I like that. But I don't know anything about the, you know, basketball games. I can,
You got to know about that.
No, I can care less. Some of those games don't really go well with me. I think because I'm a basketball player, I never really got into, I can't even watch basketball.
Hey, so
that's crazy, though. Like, she one of the only people I know that play ball. And can't watch, bro. Right. Like, can't watch it on TV.
I can't watch it. I can't play it on a video game. Wow. I just can't. I can't.
Yeah.
No passion.
I can't. It's gone.
Oh, wow.
Even when I was playing basketball, I never watched basketball. Wow. I just didn't.
That's crazy. Because when I played ball, even now.
It's like one of those things I was forced to do.
You didn't want to do it then.
No, but I was damn good at it.
Oh, wow.
Like, I was really good. I just didn't want to do it.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. We have those, you know.
Wow, no. That's crazy.
He said no.
I wish I had that. Wow.
No, I don't.
Incredible. Wow.
Can't speak for that one.
Yeah. that's how it goes. So, Haas, what advice can you give to an upcoming producer, someone who's getting their foot in the door with just producing? What advice can you give them?
I would say, one, try to make your own sound. And and this is the thing I always try to tell people. Like, when people try to give detail, they don't give detail. They just say, oh, just work hard at it. Nah, there's more to it.
Yeah, everybody just say, be consistent.
Yeah, nah, man. It's just deeper than that. Like, come on, man. That don't help. So, like, for one, like, I feel like if you have a favorite producer, listen to them thoroughly. Like, I mean, the sounds, the drums, the snares, the hats, how they convey it and the bass, how it matches, like, try to dissect that. And then two is, like, if you need sounds, which is important,
right,
you have to make your own sounds. Like, I'm literally saying, don't go for stock sounds as in programs. Like, I got all my sounds from buying records.
Mm.
And I'll find, like, an open snare, and I'll steal it. Yeah, I'll steal it. Mm. a kick, a hat, like, all from the records. And then you have a whole collection. And you just manipulate the sounds, and it's your sound.
Right.
You know what I mean? In a way, you know? So that's a way to start off. And after that, then it comes to mixing. And that part is hard. Like, that takes time. because people pay to have their stuff mixed.
Definitely do.
You know,
definitely.
I don't. I learned and I watch other engineers how they do it. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna copy this way because I like the way that sounds. And right. I just, you know, but it's something you gotta want as a new producer. You gotta want it.
You gotta. From what I'm getting from that is you got to study it, be a student of it mm-hmm. before you become the professor, basically.
Facts. Yeah.
You got to learn, actually take time to perfect your craft, and then start, like, really branching out and trying to spread your wings.
Right. Because it's scary. I'm not going to lie. It's scary.
I know.
It's scary, man. That,
so does producing go hand in hand with DJing?
If you're a real producer. Like, I feel like a producer should have a mindset of understanding varieties of music. So, like, when I first started doing music, I learned about, like you said, like, alternative rock or, you know, neo-soul, R&B. There's so many different type of versions of music. It's ridiculous. And that's why I like finding new records. Like, there's people in Asia that make beats like James Brown, like Word. Music like that, like people don't know.
Right.
Or in Africa and stuff, you know what I mean? It's like, you only know what's here. And right. once you hear other sounds, like, holy smokes, like I'm missing out on this world.
Yeah.
And there's so many that didn't even make it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like when people sample it, it's like you're actually helping them out because they never ever got that plug to get mm-hmm. there, you know what I mean? But mm-hmm. that's something you gotta love, you know what I mean? But to all the people that wanna be the up and coming producers, and y'all using Fruity Loops because someone says it's the best thing ever.
Nah, you know, shots fired.
Or Cubase. Do what you can, man. Whatever money you can, just get whatever program that's affordable to you and perfect the hell out of it.
Right.
And after that, then it's cakewalk for you. That's it. That's all I could really say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a question. Fuck it. I'm going to shoot my shot at this question here. Now, me personally, I think some producers turn out to be some of the hottest rappers. Have you ever, are you, or do you play around with rapping?
All the time.
All the time?
Yeah.
You nice?
No.
No, I'm gonna say this. There was one time I had a phase, and I wanted to be a battle rapper. So I actually have bars and stuff. So I battled this guy one time when I used to live in Connecticut, in Hartford.
Yeah.
It was this Puerto Rican cat named Fuego.
Mm.
He was Fuego. He was fire. He was fire. But he didn't expect me to give him a run. I lost. Word. But he was like, yo, you got bars. Like,
word.
You know, I could spit.
Right.
But I feel like, to me, I feel like to be an artist is way harder than to be a producer.
Yeah.
It's like, it's more technical on y'all side. The breathing, the technique, how you convey your words at the right time. I think it's hard.
I would think being a producer, I mean, and transitioning into writing, like, or being an MC is kind of an easy transition.
It is.
Because y'all got the technical part of putting together the masterpiece and all the little intricate parts of the beat that y'all can pay attention to or hear.
True.
And rhyme off of that we might not hear, like, as an MC. Like,
it's a taboo. That's why.
Mm.
It's like, you know, you're a producer. Why should you rap? Just like the whole Kanye thing. Like,
right.
You know, yeah, you rap.
Yeah, perfect example, though. But he
got a lot to say. Yeah, he conveyed it. Like, yeah. You know, I think it's just like, as I said, it's a taboo and you're scared to come out because,
right,
like, you're telling yourself you're a producer, you need a rapper, but you could rap. You right. hear so many. You
right.
know what I mean? It's like, I could do it myself. And what's funny is my brother's trying to get me into it. So, like, I've been making beats for him.
Right.
And he raps.
Right.
And sometimes I write the lyrics for him. He's like, dude, just rap.
Yeah.
I'm like, eh.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Maybe one day.
Do a feature or two, you know. You never know what happened, you know.
Right.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know, you know.
What frustrates Haas the most?
I would probably say the music. What do you mean, like music?
Just, we could do music or we could just in general. What frustrates you the most?
Selfish ass people.
Word.
Frustrates me the most.
Word.
Because I don't have it in me. And I try to, like, relate or understand it. But I don't know how you could be a selfish person.
Is that the same in music?
Yes.
Oh.
Same way. Like, I knew a guy that was a producer. And we used to trade each other sounds. Different type of sounds. And he was like, yeah, I can't really give you that one. What?
Why not?
You starting off just like me. What are you saying? That sound is like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, okay. Like, yeah. Okay, I gave you all my stuff and you only give me a little bit. Like, why? Like,
part
you
know of that I mean? Sound like it came from fear, though. You're going to take this shit and make it better than what I can right. make it. Yeah.
Like, come on, dog. Like, yeah. I hate that, man. I met a lot of producers. They like, I don't get how you could get high off your own stuff. I'm incapable of doing that, to be honest. Like, if I make a beat, I'm like, it's hot and I'm done with it in 5 minutes. I need Word. To do a new one. There's people like, oh, this is fire. Word. This is a classic. No one rapped on it yet, baby. Yeah, like, what are you talking about?
Like, what are you talking about? No one rapped on it.
Like, come on. Like, and you just sit there and hoard their music.
Word.
And they'll never be heard. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not that type of person. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just real. I'm just real. I just, you know.
So how much are you charging people for beats? And do you have a contract that you initially give? Or is this like a verbal consent this type
is,
of thing?
It's $100 for my beat. And to lease it is like $25. But that's to own bad. It is obviously $100. But my mom taught me the technical side or the, I don't know the word you call for it, the contracts and all that mm-hmm. stuff. So she taught me that. So I every time I make a beat and I feel like it's complete and it's done the way I want it, then I go to the site and it's legalized. So it's like patented in my name so they can't steal it or nothing. So
okay. So yeah. You get royalty from the beats that you're leasing.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. But not for the beats that you are selling. You don't get any royalty for that.
Nah, it's theirs. It's once it's done, it's done. But I mean, there's like a little, you know,
a little something in there.
You know, okay. They show up. It's like, all right, I get a little
percentage. Sham.
Okay.
My question is, I know I keep saying that shit.
Yeah, you do.
Shout out to Don Julio, man. I ain't shout him out all episodes.
Don Julio.
Yeah. Hey, what services do you use? Like, if you putting your music out there, like, I know everybody got jokes on SoundCloud rappers and all that, but I mean, is it SoundCloud? Is it TuneCore? Is it iTunes? Is it Spotify? Do you put together mixtapes for or like beat tapes and stuff like that? Like,
I do. Well, now, like, I used to be on SoundCloud, so I'm gonna go back on there. And also do TuneCore because I had someone recommend it to me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to abuse the hell out of it.
What about Rebirth Nation?
Never used it. Okay. I didn't see a way to utilize it during that time. Like, I had a lot of people that do it. Obviously you. You know,
yeah.
Cool and stuff.
Yeah, I used it.
I just didn't know. I didn't know how to use it in the right way. So I was like, it was too much. But definitely TuneCore. There's this other website I go to where you could sell your beats and they play it for commercials and stuff. So it's been like a few. I got placements on there, so I get paid for it. But I want to use that TuneCore thing the most.
Yeah, TuneCore. Yeah. I'm glad you said that because we had an episode previously about music and we was dropping like local artists and we was talking about people and shit. And I mean, we sent you a shout out in there, but a lot of people locally, like in our general area right now, don't even know about TuneCore,
right.
And they don't even know the fact that. As long as shit is copywritten and you own your song and you own, like, the copyright to it, you could put it on TuneCore and they could put it on all the streaming services.
Facts.
And you get the revenue right back. Like, they'll send you your checks. They'll collect your guap for you.
Full percentage.
As long as you got your BMI,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? As long as you got the copyright to your name and mm-hmm. to that song and it's good, then you're good. You could upload it to there. They'll basically distribute it. And all the streaming sites for you.
Facts.
And then they collect your bread. You straight, like,
it's easy, man.
Yeah, it's the easy. I wish I said it last episode. I wish I would have learned about that shit when I was like out here chasing it,
right?
Because then, bruh, it would have been a wrap.
Right,
it would have been a wrap. I'd have been going hard.
They don't teach you that stuff, man.
Yeah,
you know, like I said, like for us that's into music, you only see it for entertainment purposes. Other people see it in the business aspect.
Right.
So that's why so many being used in the industry.
Right.
With no problem. One hit wonders, you know?
Right.
That's like, happening to them. That's why.
Yeah.
Because the industry is a cutthroat.
Yeah.
And I think we discussed that before we jumped on this podcast, that some of these industry motherfuckers, they don't mind using you.
Facts.
Throwing you to the curve. They get
Not
a quick
one
name
of them
off
minds
you.
It. Right. Shit.
Right. But, you know, I was trying to be generous. Some of them, they want you for what you can give to them,
mm-hmm.
and they throw you to the curve.
Mm-hmm.
Same way as modeling. Any industry you break into that's mainstream, they'll do it.
Right, because it's the popularity and the dollar that could be made. That's right. All it's about.
Right.
It's all about the money.
And that's my problem I have with totally going into the industry, because I feel like I'm going to have a hard time adapting to that cutthroat industry, because it's going to change me. I don't want to change myself.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's why I'm not like fully committed. Right. I know what it could do to me. You know what I mean? I ain't selling my soul for no damn money. I'm being honest.
No, I feel you on that. So. But it's like TuneCore is
legit.
And it's a way for you to still get your feet wet in the industry without having to attach your name to one of these cutthroat labels. Like, you know what I mean? You can still do it, Chance the Rapper.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's people out here doing it 100% independent, or they'll sign a deal that's strictly for distribution, and that's it. Like, you know what I mean? You can do stuff like that. Like, it's ways around it. I think the scary thing about the industry is the politics behind it. Like, if you don't do the popular thing, or if you don't get along with the popular idea, then you're the outcast.
Right.
Like, that's the scary part of it.
That is. Yeah.
That's true.
It is.
That's indeed true. I mean, I've seen it many times where people have good talent, and then because they didn't agree to something, or they wasn't willing to change their hair, or willing to dress a little more differently, that's more acceptable to society or the public's eye, they'll get rid of them.
One guy I really like is, like that example is Ryan Leslie, because he was a prime example of that too. Talented, but he will not conform.
Right.
And that's why he's not there. And that's why I feel like I'll be in that same shoe if I ever got there. I don't want to be in that situation.
He made that "You're My Dime."
He's good. I like him. Like, he's really good. But that's why he's not out here like this. He's not going to conform. I'll make my money elsewhere the legit way.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
But I don't know if y'all paying attention, but the brother is telling y'all it's different ways to get the money in the industry without conforming to the stereotypes and the uniform they try to make you put on, basically. Facts. I mean, it's ways to get it while staying true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
if y'all ever see me in the industry and I change the way I am, no, it's not a good thing.
We're gonna play back this interview. Know what I mean? We're going to take a picture of him and let it flash, like, and Get Out. Know what I mean?
I told you I'm taking my picture back.
Y'all crazy.
Hey, yo, I want to say thank you, bro, for your time, know what I mean, and cutting out time in your busy schedule to come in and enjoy this, I mean, this time with us, this space, and coming to see what we really do, know what I mean, and giving us the opportunity to interview you.
Thank you.
And tell you that I appreciate your musical genius. We thank you for, you know what I mean, being the partner and giving us the beats to do the drops and all that, the intro for the podcast, man. We appreciate you, man.
Appreciate that, man. Appreciate the love, guys.
You keep making sickening beats. I don't have to ever tell you that you're trash.
I'll keep trying.
I mean, he took the words out of my mouth, so I'm just going to be honest. You keep making them sickening ass beats. Because as soon as you deliver a trash one, I'm going to be calling.
Oh, please let me know.
Like, dude, this shit is trash. Don't ever. Throw that shit all the way in the back.
I need the honesty. I appreciate it. You know what I mean?
Word.
Yes, but I would like to say, you know, thank you for allowing me to interview you. You're a great sport. You answered all my questions. I know you got wifey at home. I don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
But that's a disclaimer, wifey. Believe me, there's not nothing going on.
Everything's okay.
Everything's all right. Nobody's throwing panties at him, okay? I say that because, you know, a lot of women, they're like, wait a minute, what?
Right.
I'm a woman. I get it. I'll be ready to kick somebody's ass. But either way, I just want to thank you for taking the time out to just allow me to ask you all those questions. Because it's really hard, especially, I'm not sure if you've done interviews before, but just, you know, speaking about some of your experiences.
Once.
You know, a lot of people once. See, so this is your second time. Yeah. So a lot of people, they're taking a lot from you. So I appreciate you, and I'm going to thank you for them.
Because
what you just brought to the table with this interview right now was classic. So now you're building up the next person to potentially get where you're at. And I think that's a very good thing. So I appreciate your time, Haas.
Thank you for your time, guys.
Hey, yo, y'all know what this is. Now, this is Grown Ups Talk. It's Cooley Mane. You can find me everywhere under the name Cooley Mane on all social media. You can find me, if not under Cooley Mane, anywhere under Grown Ups Talk. I mean, I'm everywhere. They never there. Like, share, follow. Y'all know the motto. Holla at them.
And I just want to give a shout out again to AK. Please recover. It's different.
Please do.
It's different. Yeah. I'm used to my partner here. We argue and everything else. But, you know, recover. I wish you a speedy recovery, AK. But without further ado, it's your girl, Monica. Of course, you can always find me on Instagram. Finally, I'm up there. New page. The Real Monica. 23718. That's very hard to remember.
What was that?
That's very hard to remember. Those numbers mean something. Very significant numbers. Or you can find me anywhere under Grown Ups Talk. I will respond. I'm the one that's doing most of the responding. So
to some of the weirdos jumping in the Grown Ups Talk inbox. Shout out to y'all. God,
shout out to you guys. You guys make my night. Shout out to you guys.
And yeah, so I have a SoundCloud. It's Haas Almadi. It's pretty much it where you can find me at, you know?
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Ayo, man. Love is love. Music is love. Fucking music is life. Know what I mean? And this was about the producer. We appreciate y'all. One.